When I was a student pastor in Boston, the senior pastor had something he would say frequently before he'd start a sermon. He said there could be no preaching in the pulpit unless there's praying in the pews. The irony being that, like me, he never preached from the pulpit. He always preached down from the floor. And he would have been walking up and down the aisles. I probably won't do that, but we'll see where the Spirit takes me. The point being that when it's time to listen to the Scriptures, when it's time to hear the message, to give the message, may we all open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit's leading so that God can get through to us and say to us whatever we really need to hear to take the next step in our faith and so that we can all grow together in Christ. So would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I was thinking about this image of the church, of the community of people following Jesus as a body, and it made me think of some things this week. So I want to start off with a poem. Now my guess is when this poem was originally written in its original language, it had rhyme and rhythm, but it's very hard to translate that. But simply listen to the words and see what they say to your heart today. Christ has no body but yours, no hand, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion out on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses the world. Those words were written by one of my spiritual heroes, Teresa of Avila, a Spanish nun who lived in the 16th century. Isn't that powerful to think that we are the hands and the feet of Christ going out to do what Christ needs in the world? And I also thought about something that you've probably heard before if you've ever been here on the first Sunday of the month when we take communion. When we take communion, we say these words, that we may be for the world the body of Christ. Have you ever pondered those when we say that? That Christ is asking us, the followers of Jesus Christ, to be Christ's body out in the world, doing the things that Jesus needs done. Isn't that a powerful image that we can be the body of Christ? I've seen followers of Jesus working together in union. I remember a mission trip to Costa Rica when I was a sophomore in college. The group of us left snowy Champaign, Illinois for the tropics. Yeah, we really weren't suffering for Jesus that week. We had to dig a septic tank for a new church, and we needed to do it by hand. There were a lot of us, so we could get the job done. After a few hours, we had worked out a pretty good system. There were the people who were the good diggers and the good scrapers, since the edge had to be nice and true, and they would fill up buckets, mortar buckets with dirt, and tall folks like me would then lift those buckets up to someone who would take them at the top of the hole, and then they would go throw it on the dirt pile, and then repeat and repeat and repeat until the hole was dug. And then after the digging part of the job was done, then it was time to line the tank with cement block. So you had some people up on top mixing cement to make mortar, and then they would hand that down, and then there would be some of us in the hole who were buttering the bricks, because we could do that. And then the people that actually knew how to lay cement block properly were actually placing the bricks and weaving the rebar through them as was needed in that part of the world. Each person did a different job according to their talents or their skills or their physical height, in my case. And that was an example of how when the body of Christ gets together, when the people of God get together, we can do something that no one of us could do on our own. When we live into the gifts that God has given us, when we live and work in ways that complement each other, that help each of our gifts to be used most effectively, we thrive, we live, we grow, we share the good news, the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. God made us to live together, to be part of a wider community, to work side by side, and God gives each of us spiritual gifts so that we can most effectively work with each other. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And God knows our talents, and God knows our skills, and God knows what stage of life we are at. And God gives us the spiritual gifts appropriate to who we are if we but open our hearts and let God lead us that way. So what is a spiritual gift? Because I'll be honest, it wasn't something I remembered talking about until I got to college. The Holy Spirit is God's active presence in the world. I believe the Holy Spirit is constantly reaching out to us in love, guiding us, offering us help and to grow in faith. And the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts appropriate to who we are. Some people have gifts that are some of the gifts that are named in the scriptures. And there are several scriptures that talk about spiritual gifts. And they talk about gifts such as teaching and preaching, apostles, people who go out and found new faith communities, people who help others, people who are generous, people who encourage others and build them up. And there's many more spiritual gifts besides those. God gives us these gifts so that we can be the best that we can be. The many spiritual gifts fit together. They build each other up. When a body of Christ uses all their gifts in unison, the blessing on the people who are serving God and the blessing to the wider community and world in Jesus' name is profound. Now, the Apostle Paul long ago knew that a body of Christ, a community of Jesus followers, needs many gifts. It's not that there's one gift and all the rest of them are unimportant. A community of Christ needs many gifts. The problem was there was this church in this town called Corinth in ancient Greece. And this church had troubles. A group of people in that church had received the spiritual gift of tongues. The Holy Spirit would speak through them in worship through the gift of tongues. And that was fine and good, except some of these folks had gotten to say, well, you know what? This is the most important spiritual gift. In fact, maybe this is the only spiritual gift that matters. So those of us that have this gift, we should get to be in charge of the church. And we should get to make sure that the church is the way we want it to be. And so they tried to control their church. And that led to division. And that led to great pain within that congregation. And there was a problem. And so the Apostle Paul took pen to whatever, or actually he probably dictated the letter, but either way. He sat down and composed a letter. And several chapters of that letter, which eventually became known as 1 Corinthians, are dedicated to spiritual gifts and how they are to be used right. Paul knew that the Corinthians did not just need one gift, they needed a variety of gifts if they were to thrive and to nourish and to invite more people to know life-changing relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So Paul named some of the gifts, as we heard Nancy read at the beginning of the scripture, and then Paul went into an extended metaphor comparing the spiritual gifts and the different people that have them to a human body, comparing us to the bones and the organs and the tissues that make up the body and that make the body work together when the body is healthy. Now, this is a long, complicated metaphor. It's a metaphor Paul used in more than one of his letters. I'm not going to try to claim to you today, here, this is everything that this metaphor means. This is one of those passages you can read over and over again. The Holy Spirit will give you fresh insight each time. But I want to raise 2 points out of this metaphor of the body of Christ made up by each of us. First, Paul emphasizes that all gifts have worth. It's not just the gift that it's easy to see. Some people have the gift of preaching, or some people have the gift of music. They can make beautiful music with instruments or with their voice. And those are gifts that are often used in front of a crowd, and that's great. But there's also people that have gifts that are just as important, that are lived out in a different way. The person who's in the church nursery, who's helping with the babies in our church family so that mom and dad can sit down and actually have some time to worship, they also have a spiritual gift that can change someone's life. The person who's fixing somebody's front step or fixing the roof of someone who is elderly or disabled in some way and they can't do it themselves and they're making sure that that person has a safe, warm place to live, they can change someone's life in Jesus Christ, though it may not be something that's ever witnessed by a crowd. Paul reminds us that God gifts people with many different kinds of gifts. None is more important than the other. We need them all so that we can together build each other up in Christ and change people's lives in Jesus' name. And the second thing that Paul reminds us of is that if we don't respect each other's gifts and respect each other, if one of those gifts isn't working or being employed or being used, the whole body suffers. So a few weeks ago, I stubbed my toe on the bed in our bedroom in the parsonage. My little toe on my left foot. Now, I broke this toe really bad when I was a teenager, so stubbing it again did not feel good. Now, as I understand it, the bones that make up the toe, the little toe, are some of the smallest in the body. They're not the smallest, but they're not big. It's amazing how much those little bones, if you bruise them, though, can make you miserable. You know what? I have to walk everywhere I go. When my little toe hurts, I don't walk right. And that affects everything else in my life. And every step I take, I'm reminded, darn it, Thompson, you banged your toe into that bed. Isn't that true for our entire body if we take Paul's metaphor? If there's someone in our church that is suffering, whose gift is not being employed, who is hurting, don't we all hurt together? Don't we all want to bring out the best in each other so that each of us is flourishing and whole? And together, won't that allow us all to be more and deeply blessed? I found a quote by Martin Luther King this week as I was thinking about this idea, and he wrote the following: "Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. And you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be." In other words, we help build each other up. We are all part of the body. We are all part of one family. And when we nourish each other, we all thrive together. You have a spiritual gift. You have at least one, and in my experience, most people have more than one. That does not matter your age, that does not matter your health, that does not matter anything else. Everyone has at least one spiritual gift. Now here's the reality. You may not know what your spiritual gift is. That's okay. There are ways that you can find what your spiritual gift is. If you're not sure what your spiritual gift is, or maybe how to use it, I encourage you to reread this passage a few times. Meditate on it. Pray on it. Spend some time in introspection and prayer with God. God will want to point you in the right direction. God will want you to find your gift. If you're still struggling or you're not sure how to use it, find another follower of Jesus Christ who, like you, is seeking to live out a life of service to Christ and talk with him. Someone who knows you well. Someone who you can trust. Maybe in conversation they can help you and you might be able to help them. Some people even have the spiritual gift of helping others see their gifts, the gift of discernment. And you know what? There's a lot of really good tools online to help find spiritual gifts too. I use them myself. If you're looking to try and find out your spiritual gift, I'd be happy to point you in a direction or to talk with you about this. This is important, and when you serve Christ from who God has gifted you to be, it's a blessing to everyone, and it's a blessing to you. And I want to say that spiritual gifts are not static either. As I recall, the first time I ever tried to figure out my spiritual gifts, I was maybe 17 or 18 years old. Well, that's 21 years ago now. My spiritual gifts have changed since then. And that makes sense. If I might take Paul's metaphor of the body, and those of you who are in medicine, if I have this wrong, please correct me. We all start from a single cell inside our mamas. And then that cell divides, and these stem cells end up diversifying into all the things that we need to survive, our bones and our organs and our blood vessels and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those cells change so that the body can grow and thrive. Well, guess what? I think in a sense we are the same way. God will give us spiritual gifts in accordance to what is needed to do God's work within the church and within the wider world. Our community changes every day. There's always new families moving into our community. There's always new situations arising in our communities. God will give us spiritual gifts to respond to those ministry needs if we are willing to open our hearts to God. So even if you know your spiritual gifts, if you haven't tried to figure out what they might be for a few years, I encourage you to look at this again. Because the Spirit is constantly moving and constantly gifting us in new ways so that we can serve Jesus Christ and bless our world. God gave us gifts to fit together. I don't care what metaphor you like. We're all pieces of a puzzle that can make a beautiful picture of the mountains. We're all tiles in a mosaic that can change, that can be beautiful and can inspire people. We're all a stone in the same cathedral to fit together. We can be greater than the sum of our parts if we open our hearts to the Spirit's leading and use the gifts that God has given us to bless those around us. And as we do so, we ourselves will be blessed. So may we find our gifts and may we use our gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.